Good to be in God's house, amen.
Praise God.
Give me the key of G, Joe. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Well, hide under a bushel bow, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide under a bushel bow, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide under a bushel bow, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light, sing it out. This little light of mine, yes, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, yes, I'm gonna let it shine.
Y'all know we moved to Georgia, took a church there that God sent us to, and they wanted to do a youth meeting just to kick it off, and so we scheduled this big tent revival. It could have seated up to 250 people if we wanted it to, and buddy, we pushed it and promoted it and advertised it on radio and invited over 30 pastors and churches and all of that. On the first night, didn't even 20 people show up for that meeting. And so, yes, it crawled all over me, preacher. And the Holy Ghost, in essence, said, boy, you preached to less than this. Get up there and preach. And I got up in there, and the Holy Ghost got on me. And I don't think I've preached so hard in my life as I did those 3 nights. And we had a live stream, and we know several, probably by this point, several thousand views combined with the 4 different nights. And would you know that during that meeting, we were providentially connected with a gentleman who is now supporting all of our radio outreaches on 3 different radio stations because of what God did through that meeting. Amen. You don't ever know what God's going to do, little as much when God gets in it. And so as they say, dynamite comes in small packages. Amen. God never started with big. He always started with nothing but his word. So I'm excited because we may not feel like we're much, but we got the word of God. And what God's going to do will have eternal implications. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. You can be seated for a few minutes as my family ministers a song. Amen. All right. As y'all are getting ready, this song is about the cross of Jesus Christ. As you all know, he paid a great price on the cross of Calvary for our redemption. And we're going to sing about that here in just a moment. Amen. Let me pray again. Father, we ask you now for, Lord, your spirit to, Lord, soften up our hearts. Get us ready to receive the word of God. Direct this service as only you can. I plead the blood of Jesus, God, that you'd bind every devil, every evil and foul and unclean spirit, whether it be a spirit, a lying spirit, a deceiving spirit, a spirit of infirmity, a spirit of discouragement. God, we bind the strong man in the name of Jesus tonight. He has no place here. Lord, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. We decidedly choose to rejoice and be glad in it, that we've got the victory. And Lord, you want to do great and mighty things in our heart and in our lives tonight, Lord. Speak to us, God, through song and through word. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen.
Praise God.
Amen. All right, we're going to try this brand new one on me. Just recently learned this one. And I believe the title of it was My Jesus. Is that right? My Jesus, y'all know? Y'all know Jesus? That's testing, amen. Oh, we're going to lift his name up tonight. Amen.
Praise God.
The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Jesus taught us that when we start praying, that we are to start off saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That means his name has a name all by itself. There is a name that is above every name. Amen. And there is no equal to his name. His name is high and lifted up. And when we come into the courts of our God, that is the throne room. The Bible says that we have direct access through the blood of Jesus, and we're to come boldly before his throne of grace. But we need to know that proper protocol is entering into his presence with praise and lifting him up. And if you want God to manifest his power, we know he's here, but we want him to manifest his power. If we want him to do that, we're going to have to lift him up. Amen. And he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto myself. I've been praying on our ministry that God would give us drawing power, that we wouldn't just preach, but that men and women and boys and girls would repent of their sin and turn their hearts to Jesus and live for God. Amen. We don't just want to make a show and make a big fuss and make a bunch of noise, but we want it to effect change. Amen. To see God move. And when we get God's presence manifest itself, that's when people's lives begin to change. Amen. So listen now as they sing My Jesus. Hallelujah.
Are you past the point of weary?
Listen.
Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling?
Yeah.
'Cause your shame's done all the stealing. Are you desperate for some healing?
Oh, yes.
Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Sing it out.
He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save.
He
makes a way.
Got more, but you'll have to come back tomorrow night for more singing. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Thank you, family, for helping me exalt the Lord tonight in preparation of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where the Bible says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Onlookers often make the mistake of thinking that because we have not crumbled under pressure, it is because we are weak, is because we are strong, or we are mighty, or we are talented, or we are the best of the best. But if the truth be known, were it not for the mercy of God, we would have already failed. It is of His mercies that we're not consumed. Mercy is withholding that we deserve. It is, we would have crushed under our own propensity to fail had God not had mercy on us. So before we start claiming bragging rights, we need to remind ourselves of that. Amen. Our ministry is nothing without the mercy of God. Verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you.
We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Focus with me, verse 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And my message tonight, my assignment is to preach this question, who wants to die? Thank you, and you can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I, as much as anybody, love to shout about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. We like to rush to the tomb on Easter morn, don't we? We like to tell people, oh, sure, he hung on a cross, and he died a cruel death, and he was buried for 3 days, but we're quick to remind people quickly of the resurrection, and of course, the gospel warrants that. Amen. If we don't have the resurrection, we don't have the gospel. But before we get to the tomb, the empty tomb, we must first visit the cross. Amen. And the Bible is giving us the heart of the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Corinth. In verse 1, I believe it sets the context for what it is that he is speaking about. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And then throughout, he begins to speak about how that God has emboldened him to preach the gospel. And with that assignment of preaching the gospel, he is on a perpetual basis experiencing the death of the Lord Jesus manifested in his mortal body. That is, he is under constant attack spiritually and quite physically and literally in his ministry, so that the lifeblood of the Word of God can reach the hearts of other people. It goes without saying that if we are going to make an impact for God and do the work of the ministry that God has called us to do, it will not be done without a price to pay. Amen. You cannot experience in your ministry, I cannot experience in my ministry, the power of the resurrection of Jesus without also fellowshipping with Jesus in his sufferings. Because after all, if you want to walk into through the very gates of hell, and some save us by fire, amen, and on others having compassion, making a difference, you're going to fight hell sideways, amen. You're going to have trouble come your way, and you cannot have an effective ministry while simultaneously having nothing but smooth sailing in your ministry, amen. And sometimes I'm afraid that we're guilty of praying more about asking God to relieve the pressure and asking God to make the sail a little bit smoother and asking the Holy Ghost to take some of the bumps out of the road than we are asking God that he would work life in others through our death. Can I get an amen? There is a reason that we have to go through suffering as children of God. For what good is our preaching and trying to lift up the impoverished if we've never been impoverished? How good would it be for us to try to lift somebody who is discouraged if we're always walking on cloud nine? But you show me somebody that's been down to hell and back and come back up with the power of God on their lips. I'll show you somebody that can help you when you're in trouble. I'll show you somebody that can lift you up when you're down. And I know we don't like to go through trials and we don't want to sign up for them. But the ministry cannot go on without us going through a death of sorts similar to what Jesus experienced in his earthly ministry. We may not hang on a literal cross, but mark my words, Jesus said to take up your cross and follow me. That tells me that there is going to be some trouble in your ministry. Amen. Look at it again. Verse 8. We are troubled on every side. Have you ever felt like that? I mean, it seemed like as soon as you get going good in one direction, you bump into trouble. So you think, well, I'll back up and punt. I'll reconsider. Maybe we ought to go this way. And as soon as you go this way, you bump into more trouble. And you think, well, maybe God wouldn't do that. And you turn around and go another way. Well, let's try this for a little while. Then you bump into trouble. And you find out that no matter what you do for God, hell is there to try to stop you. Amen. And you might as well quit letting discouragement get down in your spirit and causing you to want to quit every time you face trouble. Amen. I'm preaching to myself as much as I am anybody. But let me tell you something. We are troubled on every side, but yet we're not distressed. Amen. We're not distraught. We're not depressed to the point of quitting. Amen. That literally means we're not pinched into a corner, so to speak. In other words, he might be surrounding me, but he ain't stopping me. Can I get an amen? And you may be surrounded tonight, but you will not be stopped if you keep going for God, because Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Oh, they may fight, and they may squall, and they may cry, and they may criticize, and they may throw a hissy fit, and amen, discouragement might come knocking on your door, and depression may come, and all kinds of anxiety and fear, and they may run you down and talk about you, and you may almost suffer a death for lack of support. But I'm glad that when men do not stand with us, that Jesus stands with us. Amen. You remember when Stephen was being stoned? I think it was Stephen, wasn't it? Being stoned to death, and the Bible said he looked steadfastly up into heaven and fell asleep. But right before he fell asleep in the arms of Jesus, the Bible said he saw Jesus standing. And although other men would not stand with Stephen, Jesus stood up. I'll tell you what, you just keep plowing for Jesus. You keep preaching for Jesus. And let me tell you something. You will see the power of resurrection when you suffer the kind of death that works against you constantly, trying to stop you in ministry. Hey, listen, I'd be worried about my ministry if the devil never fought me. Amen. The very fact that he's fighting you means that you're making an impact. The very reality that he's trying to shut you down tells you that he's nervous about what God's doing in your ministry. He don't want you to get too loose. He don't want you to get too spread out. He don't want you to get too much of a stronghold in your community. He don't want too many people being influenced by your preaching. So he's going to fight the weaker Christians. He's going to pick off the weaker sheep. And he's going to try to target everybody and anybody that will stop coming to church. Amen. And before you know it, you'll have people not come to church over any little old thing. And all the devil's doing, if he can't do nothing else but discourage you, that's what he wants to do. Amen. But my message tonight is who wants to die. Because let me tell you something. We can't have this influence that we want to have on this world if we're always seeking the path of least resistance. So in order to be willing to be used of God, we must be willing to fight the fight. We must be willing to keep forging ahead, even though we're surrounded by our enemy. Am I making sense? Amen. Yeah. Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Amen. Perplexed, that indicates unanswered questions. Puzzled. Have you ever been in ministry and you do something you're just certain God led you to do? You knew it was going to just take off and it was going to be grand and glorious. And buddy, it was just going to have a great impact. And it seemed like all hell broke loose. And it seemed like you didn't even get one step ahead. In fact, you might have got knocked two steps back trying to step up and do what you were certain God told you to do. And you're perplexed. You're like, well, God, I thought you led me this way. I like what Gary Luther taught me many years ago. God sometimes will lead you right up into the midst of adversity. It's easy to preach that where God guides, He provides. Where God leads, He feeds. But have you ever had God lead you into a famine and didn't feed you for a while? Hello. Sometimes God will lead you into a famine. Elijah. Amen. Sometimes God will put you in places where you don't know where your next meal is going to come from. You don't know where your next supporter is going to come from. And you're going to have to sometimes go through perplexity. That is, unanswered questions. Maybe even human confusion, because God's not the author of confusion. But that confusion comes from our limited perspective and our limited understanding. But just because your questions may be unanswered doesn't mean that you have to be in despair. Because He said, even though I'm perplexed, I'm not in despair. That is, I've not quit yet. Amen. I'm not going to quit on God just because I don't understand God. I'm going to keep going on anyway. I'm going to keep trusting God anyway. When I don't see His hand, I can trust His heart. Can I get an amen tonight? I see the trouble here. When we decide that we're going to serve God, we must be willing to die to self. That is, we must be willing to undergo the battle that is required of us. If we're going to fight the good fight of faith, we can't always be praying for smooth sailing. Amen. Now, there's nothing wrong with God praying that God will relieve the tension. I'm not telling you not to ask God to intervene. I'm just telling you that there's going to be some thorns, Paul, that He's going to leave there. There's going to be some trouble that God will get more use out of the trouble staying than leaving. Amen. And so it's par for the course. What happens is God will let a great need abide in your life. And it does a couple of things. First, it keeps you humble. Secondly, it tests your faith if you want to serve God anyway or not. And then thirdly, God will make kingdom connections by bringing other people into your life that can meet the need that you can't meet for yourself. And then that builds relationships upon which God can grow the work. And so sometimes God gets greater works done through the presence of a need than through the abolishing of the need. Amen. It's not that He don't want to meet the need. It's that sometimes our needs stay longer than we wanted them to. Amen. Have you ever had somebody overstay the welcome? Have you ever had trouble overstay its welcome? Amen. Sometimes we go through trials and it ain't a week, it ain't a month, it ain't a year, but it might be a decade of trouble, strife, toil. Could be 40 years of wilderness. The question is, if that's the path that God requires to get you to the promised land, are you willing to die to self to do it? Are you willing to pay the price? Who wants to die tonight? Amen. So we're going to have trouble. But I don't want to just stop there. I want to look at the triumph. There's trouble on one side of it, but there's also abiding triumph through it all. Look at verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Watch this. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Amen. So it's not all dying. Amen. You may die to self, but the good news is there's a life greater than yours that rises up in you. Amen. It is a swap. I'd rather let Jesus live through me than for me to live through myself any day of the week. Amen. Verse 11 said, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." You know what God wants to do? He wants to show Himself mighty through your trouble. He wants to put you on display so that the world can see the life of Jesus overcoming in you.
He wants people to look at you and he wants them to be perplexed. Now, I don't understand how brother so-and-so can go through that kind of a trial and test and still be shouting the victory and still be singing Amazing Grace and still be being faithful to church. I don't know what kind of God he serves, but if he can have that much joy and that much trouble, I think I might want to taste. Amen. And that's what God's after. He wants the life of Jesus to shine through the death that you experience in your lifetime. Verse 17, for our light affliction. I love how the Word, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, makes light of our heavy issues. They're heavy to us. But note that they're only heavy to us. Amen. They're not heavy to Him. He's bore our sicknesses and carried our sorrows. And to Jesus, these are light afflictions. And He wants us to have heaven's perspective in light of eternity, the things we're going through now, so that it produces the glory of God in our lives, is well worth the price to be paid. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, that's temporary, worketh for us. I'm glad God hired trouble to go to work for me. Amen. Look at that. It says it works for us. And we know that all things work together for those who love God. So the next time the devil tells you that God hates you, or God don't love you, or God hadn't heard your prayer, because if he loved you, he would have took that trouble out of your life, you remind the devil that your trouble is serving your God for your benefit. Amen. That God's going to take that trouble and flip it around and make it bless his name, make it bless his child, and even in the place of the curse, God will speak forth a blessing and he'll turn the enemy on his head. Amen. And you remind the devil that he is a liar. And even Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen. And you've got to have a tenacity. I'm talking now about the triumph over the trouble. Amen. Once you get that victory down in your soul, you can overcome any death that you might experience in your person tonight. Amen. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That means it's going to be worth it after all.
Amen.
Amen. It'll be worth it after all. Child. Y'all remember that song? It'll be worth it after all. After all of these trials, we'll hear Jesus call. It'll be worth it after all, child. It'll be worth it after all. After all of this climbing, it'll be worth it after all. Amen. And that's what you got to remind yourself of tonight, that you are victorious in spite of the temporary pain that you're going through.
Right.
Note that the scripture says that these afflictions are light and they are but for a moment. That means they're temporary.
Right.
It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. And you can shout the victory knowing that what God's got in mind is far more important than what you had in mind. You may think God needs to deliver you this way, on this day and time, and in such and such fashion. But God might say, I think I'll wait till Lazarus is 4 days rotted in the grave, then I'll raise him up. Amen. I think I'll wait until you think all hope is lost, and then, Sarah, I'll give you a baby at 99 years old. God sometimes waits until it's completely a lost cause and a lost case and no hope, so that we can't lift a finger for credit. Amen. And we have to shout the victory and say, look what God has done. Because what God has in mind, God gets creative. God finds creative ways to magnify himself in the sight of man. Amen. I mean, if you don't believe that God enjoys magnifying himself, look what a display
display of glory he used when he created the universe. I mean, they got that Hubble telescope out there and have been having it there for, I don't know, 30, 40 years now. And it goes deeper and deeper into space, and it just keeps finding more and more galaxies. I mean, there's no end to the magnificence and the glory and the display that God put on just to show us how powerful and almighty he is. And I love it when God reaches from the past and reaches into the future and brings both together to kiss us in a moment of our need, to just show us that it's not too far gone, that he can't fix it, it's not too big, that he can't handle it. Amen. And know that you are triumphant, because greater is he that is in you and me than he who's in the world. Amen. I know you've got trouble, but you've also got triumph. You remember what the man of God said in the Old Testament.
The lady that lost her boy, and she went to the preacher, and they said, how is it? Is it well? She said, it is well with my soul. And sometimes your circumstances are not well. Your body is not well. But if you can keep the precious seed of the promise of God's word and power down deep in your soul and down deep in your spirit, you can still cry, it is well. It is well. It is well. Amen. And that's what God's after tonight. You don't have to have the victory around you as long as you have the victory within you. Amen. And if you'll get that victory and that triumph down inside of you, there ain't a demon in hell that can stop what God's doing in your life. But who wants to die? Who wants to go through this? Amen. I don't know about you. I set off many years ago, foolishly preaching as a young preacher, challenging the devil to bring it on.
And he did. And I learned a few lessons. The biggest lesson I learned was humility. But can I tell you something? I still want everything God has for me. And I know it's going to cost me. But instead of asking the devil to bring it on, I'm going to say, God, you bring it on and you get me through it. And you fight him off for me. Amen. That's right. And if you go at it, not in your strength, but in his, you can still get it. And you can get it right. Amen. So he said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, for this cause, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And that's often how it is one day at a time. Amen. You get up in the morning, and this is a brand new day, and his mercies are new every morning. Amen. And you've got to have that victory renewed in your spirit every single day of your life. Because if you don't, you could be shouting the victory tonight, and you could be contemplating suicide in the morning. Amen. And you've got to get your spirit renewed from the Word of God and from the Spirit of God. Amen. And he said, look, I might be going through a lot. And by the way, I'm doing it for you. My inward man is doing all right. Amen. For our light affliction, I didn't read that verse, is but for a moment. Now, let me read you this one. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means, that's a brave, brave statement. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul is saying, I don't know how I'm going to get there. But he's saying, whatever it takes, I want to get to resurrection in my life. I want to see the life of God moving mightily through my life, through my ministry, through my testimony. And I want to see God change lives through this gospel.
Amen.
That I'm so sacrificially giving my life to preach. Amen.
Right.
And so we see the trouble, but we see the triumph. And thirdly, I want to know that now to look at the trophies. I mean, what is it? What is there to gain? What is there to gain? Verse 12, so then death worketh in us, but here's what you gain, but life in you. You see, when you get into the ministry and you surrender to the call of God on your life, it's not about you. It's about Jesus.
Right.
And it's about others. And there's so many people today that they want the red carpet rolled out for them.
Sure.
They want their name up in lights. They want to be recognized for their talent and for their charisma. And they want the money, the power, the fame, the influence in the kingdom of God. And they're all about making a show for themselves. But God, give us some old-fashioned, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost preachers that want to just pray something like, Lord, hide me behind the cross so that they don't see nobody but you. Amen. Because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus and those that he died for, that he wants to reach with his gospel. Amen. And guess what? It's going to cost us something if we preach the costly gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there is another Jesus you can preach that won't cost you anything. In fact, you can gain a lot from it. But God rebuked the spirit of Balaam in the land today. The preachers that get up and preach for a parsonage and a paycheck. Amen. They get up and preach for power and fame. Amen. And they'll hook up with anybody as long as it promotes their business. They call church. But God, give us some preachers that'll pay the price to see people actually converted from their sins and not just joining the social club that they built for profit. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Our life should be hid with Christ in God. He said in verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us, notice the next two words, with you, speaking to the audience for which he is sacrificing his life.
Right.
Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. I was earlier today, I'm going to make a statement here, and I'm going to make a confession. I was talking to the Lord about some prevailing problems in my life, and I've been praying over them for some time, and it doesn't seem like they've budged. You ever been there? And I was asking God, Lord, what's going on? Why hasn't this happened? What's wrong with me? What have I done wrong? What have I missed?
Amen.
You ever been there? And it's like the Holy Ghost tapped me on the shoulder and whispered in my ear and said, who said it's about you? And I got to thinking, and the Lord started directing my thoughts to Moses and how that Moses had to live in that wilderness for 40 years along with the rest of them. And God wasn't putting Moses on trial. He was putting the children of Israel on trial. But because Moses was called to minister to them, he had to go through many of the same things that they had to go through. And it wasn't about him. You know, it wasn't like Job's friends was telling Job he was wrong with God. Well, if you just confess that hidden sin in your life, then God would free you back up and you'd be healed and you'd be blessed again. And the Bible said that Job sinned not. Neither charged God foolishly. And we're so religiously smart sometimes we're no practically good. Do you realize sometimes trouble comes to your life because God invited it to? Trouble comes to your life sometimes because God's got a greater purpose. And God may be putting the people that you're trying to minister to you on trial. Let's see if they'll skip God. Let's see if they'll quit praying for you. Let's see if they'll accuse the man of God for not doing something right, or if they'll pray for him and hold up his hand when he's going through hardship. Let's see if they'll take up an extra love offering for him when he's going through a particularly hard time, or if they'll just criticize him because he's always after that money. Can I get an amen tonight, somebody? Sometimes the trial has nothing to do with you, and it has everything to do with those that are observing what God is doing through your leadership in your ministry. And so I've learned as of today that when I'm not sure exactly what's going on, I must consider the fact that God's using my testimony as a possible way to show somebody else something that God wants them to see through my life.
Right.
And if that means I have to walk through this trial, and if that means I have to carry a burden longer than I wanted to, and if that means it's not what I preferred, but it's better for the kingdom, then I'm going to have to just be willing to say, yes, sir, I'll do whatever you need me to do. I'll carry this burden as long as you want me to carry it. I have no right to complain. complain. I have no right to whine and bellyache and grumble. And I'm going to have to quit asking you to remove this thorn if that's not your will. But I've shifted my focus now. Lord, just have your will and way and show yourself mighty. Amen. If you want this thing removed, you'll remove it in your good time. Until then, I'm going to let his praise continually roll off of my lips. And I pray that whoever it's for, whether it's me or somebody else, that God ultimately will get the glory. Amen. Whew. Amen. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. See, the truth is, Thanksgiving's coming. Amen. And guess what? Thanksgiving, you don't have to wait till you got the victory to give thanks. Because right. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. It didn't say for everything, give thanks. Amen. If you die of cancer, I wouldn't expect anybody to say, Lord, I want to thank you that I'm dying of cancer. But what you can say is, Lord, while I'm going through this cancer, I want to thank you that I'm still alive. I want to thank you that I can, my face can radiate with the glory of God, and I can tell others of the hope that I have in Jesus. That if I do die today, that I know where I'm going. Amen. In everything, you can learn to give thanks. And if we'll start thanking Him now, you'll be surprised at what God would do through the death of sorts that you might be experiencing in your life. But see, the trophies that we're after are those who will be touched and changed by the gospel because we were willing to bear our cross for Jesus. Because we were willing to pay the price. God don't need no part-time help. And God don't need weak, anemic soldiers that run at the first sign of trouble. God needs some soldiers in His army. God needs some that will go across enemy lines and stay longer than they ever thought they would have to stay. And fight harder than they ever thought they'd have to fight. And give more than they ever thought they'd have to give before they ever see a victory. But that's the kind of soldiers it's going to take to win this world to Jesus. Can I get an amen? But it's worth the fight. It's going to be worth it, children of God. We need the trophy of souls as a representative of what God is doing with us, for us, and through us. Amen. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, it said, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Where Christ, who is our life, shall appear," "when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." I love that. The people ought not to see you and me till Jesus gets back. Amen. The only person they ought to see is Jesus. Isn't that what it just said? They'll see you after they've seen Jesus. And may it be our goal and our mission and our ministry and our personal testimony, our personal soul winning, that before I introduce them to myself, that I introduce them to Jesus. Before they see Gary Caudle, they need to see Jesus Christ and all of His splendor and glory. In fact, they don't even need to see me till Jesus gives me my glorified body, because I have nothing to boast of right here and right now in this old world. All I can tell you is Jesus Christ is the answer for every man. Amen. Our life must be hid with Christ in God. I want to be so lost in Jesus that you'll have to search Him to find me. Amen. And I want to be so lost in Jesus that people think I'm a little fruity. That people think I'm a little nutty. Amen. That's okay with me. Because until we get radical for Jesus again, this world won't be impressed.
You're right.
Amen. But as long as we're bored, yawning, well, what time's church over? Time to go eat. Amen. I don't want to miss the ball game. I want to get home in time to, and heaven forbid the church have a service during Super Bowl. Hello. As long as we're hungry for this world, and filling up the appetites of our flesh, and not dying to self, but living to self, Jesus will not be glorified in our lives. Amen. And we will not be winning others to Him. Oh, we can talk the talk, but can we walk the walk?
Right.
Amen.
So we see the trouble, but we see triumph, and then we see the trophies as a result of living the triumphant life in Christ. I ask again, who wants to die tonight?
Right.
Hebrews 10:36 says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, mm-hmm. you might receive the promise." Notice it said the promise comes after the obedience. We are often like toddlers in the presence of our Lord God. We want it, and we want it now. I'm going to lay to pray, "Lord, I need patience. Give it to me right now." That's not how you pray for patience, newsflash. But the Lord said, "You have need of patience." We think we have need of deliverance. The Lord said, more than deliverance, you need the patience to wait for the deliverance. Because we get all tied, fouled up in our brain, in our head, in our thoughts. And we let the devil steal us of all of our faith. Now, all of our trust. Well, you know, if God was going to answer that prayer, he'd have done it by now. You know, maybe God ain't even listening to you. Maybe God don't even care about that. Maybe God's punishing you. And the devil will talk you right out of believing God for just about anything. Especially if you have to wait for it. And what God's teaching us is there's some things you got to wait for. There's some things that won't come except through waiting. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Amen. So I'm going to close with John 12:24. Joe, you can come to the piano and get ready to play an invitation. Jesus said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. But he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Who wants to die tonight? Die to self so that Jesus can live through you, so that others can come to Jesus. Who's willing to lay your will down for his? Who's willing to lay down your mully grubbing, your complaining, your whining about all the troubles and the perplexities of your life and why the problems persist and why this and why that, and I just don't understand, and I don't know if it's even worth going to church anymore. It don't seem like, I had somebody tell me the other day, it seems like the more I pray, the worse it gets. And we just get this spirit of depression come over us sometimes. And you got to shake that mess off. And you got to be willing, like Job said, "You know what? Even if he slays me, I'm not going to quit serving him. I'm not going to quit trusting him. I'm going to keep blessing his name. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Amen. And do not charge God foolishly. Amen. His praise, let it continually roll off your lips and give God thanks. And fight to keep the triumph in your soul, regardless of the battles going on around you. Everybody standing to your feet as Job begins to play. "I believe I've done exactly what God wanted me to do." Somebody may need to just re-surrender and say, "God, I'm sorry that I've questioned you, that I've complained, and I'm going to start fresh tonight, trusting you with every facet of my life, with every problem that I have, that you will work it for my good and ultimately for your glory. That you will put it to work in such a way that by the time you get done with it, it will be a greater victory than if you gave me exactly what I asked for when I asked for it." Can we trust God to that degree? Amen. Let's pray tonight, church. As the pastor comes, the invitation is yours. I do think I may sing this song that Joe's playing as a way of invitation. Morning by morning, I wake up to find the power and comfort of God's hand. Season by season, I watch him amazed in all of the mystery of his purpose.
fully entrusting His hand. All I have need of, His hand will provide. He's always been faithful to me. This is my anthem. This is my song. The theme of the stories I've heard for so long. God has been faithful. He will again. His love is compassion, it knows no end. All I have need of, His hand will provide. He's always been faithful to me. Great is Thy faithfulness, God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever to me.
Praise God.